Hi everyone. Hopefully you've already had a good amount of time to look at the passage today in your small groups. And you know, I believe the power in any sermon comes from what God has to say. And so since you've already had a lot of time to look at God's word together as a group, I'm going to be pretty brief today. I just want to take a couple minutes to point out one thing that really sticks out to me in this passage, and it's this, that our generosity only goes as deep as our love of the gospel. Our generosity only goes as deep as our love of the gospel. See, in today's passage, Paul is challenging the church to be generous. Having grown up in the church and worked in ministry for a while, I've seen a bunch of different ways that people try to encourage generosity in the world. Some people rely on gimmicks. They're like, we're going to raise money for the church. We're going to take this huge thermometer poster and put it up on front. And as more money comes in, the red line's going to go up. And so you should give money so you can see that red line get higher and feel excited. Some people just get up and try to guilt trip you into giving. I remember when I was a kid, there was this commercial on TV. There was this older American guy who was walking down some train tracks in Africa surrounded by these malnourished African children. And he would tell these terrible stories about how rough life is for them and make you feel like such a jerk for sitting there comfortably in your American home doing nothing to help them. And some people use that approach. And other people just get up and give you commands. They point to the Old Testament and they're like, 10% right there, that's what you need to give. And they make you feel like you're a bad Christian if you don't do that. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 8, is writing to this church in Corinth. He's trying to get them to be generous, and he could have done any of these things. He sent Titus to them. He could have sent a big thermometer cutout with Titus so that they could give the money and see that red line go up. He could have told them these terrible stories about how hard life was for the church in Jerusalem. He could have quoted Leviticus or Deuteronomy to them, telling them to give 10%. He could have said, do what I say because I'm an apostle. And he doesn't do any of these things. He instead points them to the generosity of Jesus. It's right there in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. See, Paul understands that a guilt trip or a compelling story might get them to give money today, but it's not really going to transform their hearts. It's not going to make them into generous people. It will make them into people who put money in the offering box because they felt bad. But he says, when you look at Jesus, when you understand the way that Jesus gave up his riches and became poor so you could have all the riches of heaven as yours for eternity, that's going to change you. His point is that when you slow down from the hustle of life and you stop and you take time to really appreciate and understand what Jesus has done for you, that's going to change you and that's going to make you a generous person in a way that nothing else will. He says to them, you know, you might be afraid that if you give up what you have, you'll suffer because of it, because you have less. And that might happen. But Jesus gave up the riches of heaven for the certainty that he would suffer the poverty of a shameful death on the cross and the pain of separation from his Father. But he did it. Even though he knew the cost, he did it so that you can know the joy of a relationship with God, and you can have the privilege of spending eternity with him. You know, for you, it's a possibility that you'll suffer a little bit. For him, it was a guarantee that he would suffer immensely, and yet he did it for you. And so in light of all that he has given to you, what type of person are you going to be? Are you going to be a generous person, or are you going to be a stingy person? And I think this is a big part of why, if you read through this passage, Paul doesn't tell them a specific amount to give, right? He knows that he could just tell them Old Testament 10% or 23%, depending on your interpretation. He can say that to them. And if he says that to them, people might give. And they might give to make him happy without their hearts actually being transformed to become generous people. And you know what? Numbers actually make it easier for us. When someone gets up and says, this is how much to give, even if it's a really high number, it's far easier for us than what Paul does right here. Because see, even if he had said a really high number, give 40% of everything you have to the church. Obviously, that's a lot to give, but at least there's this cutoff. There's this clear line where we can say, there, God, I've given you what's yours, the rest is mine. But Paul doesn't do that. He points to the generosity of Jesus. And he's making a point, Jesus didn't give a percentage of his life for us. He gave it all. And the proper response is not to set a fixed percentage and say, this is all you get, God. It's to give ourselves to him in return, like the Macedonian churches did at the start of this passage. And when we do this, when we give ourselves to God in response to what God has already given us, that's not going to make us less generous with our money. It's going to make us more generous with our money. Because we'll see, we'll give stuff away, but then we'll see even the stuff we don't give away still belongs to God. It's still entrusted to us so we can use it to love and serve others. And that's why Paul is so understanding in verse 12 when he says, God accepts our gifts according to what a person has. He says, you know, if you're struggling financially and you're facing a crisis and giving $20 is hard, but you've set it apart in your heart that you're going to give that and you do it, God's not going to come and be upset at you and be like, sinner, you earned $500 this week. That's only 4%. You got to give more. No, actually, those are the exact types of people that this collection is being sent to. Paul and God cares for the poor. They don't want to oppress the poor by setting unrealistic standards on them. They want to help the poor. And if you're in a hard financial situation like this, please let one of us elders know, because we'd love to talk with you about whether there are ways the church can help you through this time. But at the same time, for many of us, what we have is enough that we can give 10% and barely feel the impact of losing it. And for us to be generous at the level Paul is talking about here actually involves us giving more than 10%. You know, I realize most of us don't really often feel like we have that much. But if we take a step back and look objectively at what we need, we have more than enough. Michael Lewis, the author of books like Moneyball, The Blind Side, The Big Short, he started his career working at a firm on Wall Street. And he said early in his career, he had a really good year, and he went at bonus time, and they gave him a $90,000 bonus. I'm guessing for most of us, we'd be pretty happy if we were given that as a bonus, just one off at the end of the year. But he felt cheated because he knew that he had done a lot more for the company that year than what this $90,000 represented. And he went to a friend and he told this friend, you know, I feel cheated. I just got a $90,000 check and I feel like I've been ripped off. And the friend said something to him so insightful. He said, you don't get rich in this business. You only attain new levels of relative poverty. You know, $90,000, that's a huge bonus, but you can't appreciate it. You don't feel like it's much at all when the guy next to you gets $1 million bonus. And it's the same with us. We can never appreciate the gifts that God has given us when we're comparing our situation to the wealthier people around us. But when we're able to step back and look at what we really need, and when we're able to step back and we realize what Jesus has given to us, that's what's going to equip us and empower us to be generous people. You know, I don't believe it's a coincidence that we are talking about generosity in the middle of everything that's happening in Hong Kong right now. I don't know if you realize this, it's been a tough season for the church financially because with giving down from not having normal services, but still having to pay expenses, it's a tough season. But we believe that God is calling us to be generous to our city right now. So today, hopefully there's some type of offering box where you're meeting. Next to that, we're going to have some special envelopes. And these are for our church to get involved in coronavirus relief. We're planning to work on sourcing some masks and distributing them to people in need around the community. And the money given in the special envelopes today will go towards sponsoring these masks. Once we have it arranged, when the masks are arriving and stuff, we'll get in touch with you about details of how you can be involved in distributing the masks if you'd like to. But for today, we want to invite you to give towards us purchasing those masks. And if you would like to give towards the masks, we would ask that you do that in addition to any normal offerings you make to the church, not instead of your normal offerings. So that's my insight into the passage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a generous God. We thank you that you love us in an extravagant and generous way, and we pray that you would make us a people who love one another and the world around us in generous and extravagant ways. I pray that you would open our eyes to opportunities around us each day for generosity. And I pray that you would bless this mask distribution that our church is planning, that you would use it to reach people in the community with the good news of who you are. Thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.